Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to believe. None of this makes sense. There's too many individuals telling different stories, including law enforcement. Somebody knows what happened. Jonathan mattered to us. He still matters to us. We love him. We miss him. This is not right.
Well, we're over 2 years later, and there's no sign of him. And generally, we can find something.
26-year-old Jonathan Hamilton left his home in Houston, Texas on May 2, 2015. 2 days later, he showed up in Bastrop, Texas, which is just a couple hours away from where he was last seen in Houston. He abandoned his vehicle in a Best Buy parking lot. It had run out of gas. Several people in the town of Bastrop, including the police, interacted with Jonathan that day, and then he simply vanished off the face of the earth. In this first part of Jonathan's story, we're going to dig into the days leading up to his disappearance, up until the last time he was reportedly seen on May 4th. This is one of those cases that will leave you wondering, guessing, coming up with theories. It's truly a mystery. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 95 of The Vanished, part one of Jonathan Hamilton's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Before we really get into the details surrounding Jonathan's disappearance, there are two really important things that you should know about him. Jonathan is a type 1 diabetic and also had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. You will learn that Jonathan was acting strange around the time of his disappearance, and these may have been contributing factors behind his behavior. This is also why his family strongly believes that his case should have been taken seriously from the start, because it was very dangerous for Jonathan to go without insulin. Jonathan's mom, Angie, told me more about what Jonathan required on a daily basis.
Jonathan was a type 1 diabetic. He was diagnosed with diabetes when he was 12 years old on September the 16th of 2000. He had to have insulin shots regularly several times a day. We were told that he was insulin dependent and he could not live without insulin.
In the days leading up to his disappearance, Jonathan had been taken to the hospital by EMS twice due to health complications related to his diabetes.
Jonathan was carried by EMS to two different hospitals, suffering from complications of the type 1 diabetes. And the warnings were, if you don't get treatment, loss of body parts, loss of body function, loss of organ function, partial or permanent mental impairment, up to and including death.
Before Jonathan disappeared, he had been living with his parents and younger sister at their home in Houston. Back in 2012, he was severely injured in an accident which left him disabled and he was living on a fixed income. May 2, 2015. That's the last time that Jonathan's parents and sister ever saw him. Angie told me about that day.
We live in Houston. When Jonathan went missing, he lived here with us in our home that he was raised in. And on May the 2nd, 2015, he got up. He was acting, you know, okay. There was no fight. There was no argument. He got in the vehicle. He went to our local grocery store. He bought his dad a bottle of Coke. He bought his sister a Starbucks coffee. He came home. He gave the Coke to his dad and the coffee to his sister. And nobody knew, but the car was parked about a house and a half down in the street. He did not even pull in the driveway. He went back out the door. When his daddy heard the door open and shut, he went to the door and opened the door and went outside, and Jonathan got in the car. Jonathan had the family dog in the car. At that point, he let the dog out of the car, told his daddy, "You better get the dog before he gets run over." And Jonathan left, and we've never seen him again.
When Jonathan left that morning, he was driving his dad's 2008 GMC Envoy. When he didn't return that evening, his family became concerned and contacted their local police department to report that he was missing.
I called the police and made a missing persons report from here in Houston. And I did not report the vehicle stolen. I knew Jonathan was sick. But I did ask the officer to please include the vehicle in the report because that's what we last saw Jonathan driving.
Jonathan was located in Bastrop, Texas, 2 days later. This is just a couple hours away from his home in Houston.
And then 2 days later, on May the 4th, we got a phone call from Bastrop stating that the vehicle was in the parking lot on Highway 71 at a strip center and that our son was there. I think it was maybe 10 minutes at the most. We got in the car and took off to head that way. I had to put air in my tires before we left. It took about 3 hours to get there. And when we got there, the vehicle, sure enough, was in the parking lot in a handicapped parking place, parked crooked, and our son was nowhere to be found. There had been conversations with law enforcement on our way there. I, at one point, asked them if they could hold my son until we got there. And they told me, no. They could not, because he had done nothing wrong.
In Jonathan's missing persons file, it's noted that the Bastrop Police Department responded to a call about a suspicious male and a vehicle in the parking lot in front of a Best Buy and Ross store. When they arrived, they ran the plates and found that the vehicle was associated with a missing persons report. They began looking for Jonathan, and an off-duty fireman pointed them in the direction of Papa Murphy's Take and Bake Pizza Shop, where he had seen a suspicious person. The police spoke to Jonathan and reported that they didn't observe any kind of medical issues or altered mental state. This is when they called Angela. It's noted that she asked them to stay with Jonathan, or at least keep him until she could get there, but they had no probable cause to detain him. One issue that Angie had with this interaction that Jonathan had with the Bastrop Police Department is how they told her that they positively identified Jonathan.
I asked the officer that came in contact with my son, "How did you make a positive ID on my son?" He said, "Well, he showed me his driver's license or his ID."
The problem with this is that Jonathan didn't have any identification with him on the day that he left. His driver's license was back at home in Houston. In Jonathan's file, I see that it's noted that they simply asked him for his name and his birth date. At this point, they cleared his initial missing persons report based on just speaking with him and not confirming any kind of identification. While Angie, her husband, and daughter were on their way to Bastrop, they received a call from Jonathan.
My son called us from a Good Samaritan's cell phone. And with that being said, Jonathan had a cell phone. I bought Jonathan a cell phone. And Jonathan's cell phone has never been recovered. Jonathan also reached out from this Good Samaritan's phone and called his ex-girlfriend in Manville, and he told her that he had been robbed.
When Jonathan spoke to his parents, he let them know that he didn't want them coming out there to get him, and he told them that he'd leave the keys in the car.
He seemed like something was wrong. He did not tell us that he had been robbed. He did not explain that his phone was gone.
When they arrived in Bastrop and located the Envoy where Jonathan had left it in front of the Best Buy, they found that he had not left the keys like he had stated over the phone. His father worked on the car for about 4 hours to get it started. He had to bypass the chip security system in order to get it to start without a key. While his family was in Bastrop, they were unable to locate Jonathan. Angie was able to file another missing persons report, now with the Bastrop Police Department. This is the police department explaining how this happened.
So we find him, and then we take him out of the system. You know, he's an adult. He can do what he wants. He's on his way. They come down, start working on the car that was broken down, and they can't find her son. So that's kind of, he's not being looked for because he's no longer missing. Well, mom gets a hold of another, the night supervisor. And
of the police department?
Yes. And says, hey, look, I can't find my son. He's diabetic, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't, and I think what happened was is the night supervisor probably didn't backtrack those days' reports. And he entered him as missing again because the mom said he was missing. And we want to err on the side of caution a lot of the time. You know, hey, look, missing, maybe a law enforcement will come across him again. And that's sometimes just the way the wheel turns. It's just over and over and over. Because I suspect that if he had been identified even after the second time our agency enters him as missing, he wouldn't want to do anything with law enforcement on that particular day. And they'd take him out and then he'd be entered back in because, you know, mom calls and can't get a hold of him. But he was never identified again. So because we entered his missing, he's our investigation.
After Jonathan encountered the Bastrop police that day, he showed up on a property that is just under 2 miles away from where he abandoned the Envoy. This is where he encountered the man that Angie refers to as the Good Samaritan. And this is also where things stop adding up. When Jonathan had called his family from the Good Samaritan's phone, they all report that it was still daylight out, and once they got to Bastrop, they still had a couple hours of daylight while they worked on the car. The people who own the property that Jonathan later appeared on claim that he showed up after dark that night. So it doesn't quite add up that Jonathan called his parents from the Good Samaritan's phone while it was still light out, if he didn't encounter the Good Samaritan until after dark. I need to give you a little background on this property. It's at the end of a dead-end road. It's gated and backs up to the Colorado River. The Good Samaritan didn't live here. He had dated the owner's daughter and purchased an old Jeep from them. He was working on restoring this Jeep while it was still on their property. There are two homes on this property that are occupied by various family members. If you were to enter this property from the driveway, you'd pass a large garage or barn area that housed the Jeep and other vehicles before reaching the two houses. The people who lived there weren't aware that the Good Samaritan was there working on the Jeep that night, and they were surprised when Jonathan knocked on their door. The Bastrop Police Department released a body cam video to me. In this video, one of the men who lives on this property explained how Jonathan showed up at his door. In this clip, he talks about someone named Justin. This is who Angie refers to as the Good Samaritan.
I had a curtain on that window and the AC, and there's obviously bushes and stuff in front of that window. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even see out. Like, I pretty much opened my door to the guy, and my wife and I were watching TV, and she came up behind me. And she heard part of his story, but when his story started not making sense,
okay,
I told her I wanted her to stay inside while I tried to deal with the situation.
Okay.
And I saw the flashlight up here.
All right.
And I was like, dude, come with me. I don't want you by my house. I mean, I pretty much told him that he was acting really weird and making me nervous.
Yeah.
But I wanted to help him out if I could.
Yeah.
And then I saw the flashlight up there, so I made him come with me and wait by my truck, which was parked there. And I called out because it dawned on me that it might be Justin. So I called out, hey, Justin. And he said, yeah. And I was like, hey, man, come here. I need your help for a minute. And then that's when he got involved.
Okay.
What Jonathan allegedly told them was that he had been on the Colorado River in a canoe and had lost his oars. Law enforcement has looked into this canoe story, and they find it to be very unlikely for several reasons. First of all, they've looked into it, and no one in the area had reported a canoe stolen around the time that Jonathan went missing. More than that, in order to travel from the area where he abandoned the Envoy to this property, he would have had to travel upstream against the current. The water there moves steadily and is very deep. One important detail is that Jonathan couldn't swim. The people who encountered him on that property have different thoughts on whether Jonathan was wet like he had come out of the river. In the police report, Justin, or the Good Samaritan, claims that he was wet and that he gave him new clothes to wear. Here's a clip of the people who live there discussing this detail.
I know that he came and knocked on the door, and Kevin answered his door, and there he stood, drenched.
And that's going to be, what building is that?
He was drenched. My wife said that she didn't remember him being wet. She said that I was upset because he was saying he came from the river, but I felt like his appearance didn't match that story, and I wanted her to stay inside because he was lying to me for some reason. Ran poked her head out, and I told her to stay inside because Justin had his flashlight bobbing around up there by the shop, and I didn't know he was there either. So then all of a sudden, I had like two strangers to me on my property at the same time.
And a little background on that, Justin and I had been working on an old Jeep pickup that I had sold him, and we were getting it running.
Yeah.
So he was
quite often we worked till midnight.
Yeah.
And he would come over on his own sometimes too and go out there and do some more work on it.
Okay.
So it wasn't really abnormal for him to be there, but he hadn't been there that day. And then there was a flashlight up there in the dark.
Yeah.
This dude was at my door.
Okay.
And that kind of concerned me because he was lying to me for some reason, and I didn't know if he had partners or whatever in the woods doing weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, and that's why Justin took the guy down to the store where he was asking for help and everything, because I needed Justin to go in case he did have friends or whatever. I wanted to stay here to protect my wife and my sister.
Yeah.
And did you follow him at all when Justin left?
No,
I thought you told me you followed him a little bit into town.
I don't remember following him. I remember staying here, but maybe I did.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. When I was watching this body cam footage, there's a point where they all walk down to the river to see what the area would look like from the perspective of someone traveling on the river in a canoe. Both sides are heavily wooded with a lot of brush. You can't see very far because of this. Had Jonathan been on the river in a canoe, he wouldn't have been able to see that there was a house there. There also isn't a shoreline that would be easy to walk along. There's just a drop-off into deep water. Here's a bit more from the body cam footage where they're discussing the mystery of how Jonathan showed up that night.
Do you think it was more likely he came from the road?
I think it's more likely that he came from the road because he couldn't come on land. Mm-hmm. It's all like this right here, steep and brushy. And
you could, but not right beside the river. He might have had to come up, you know, out of the river, yeah, 10 or 15 or 20 feet.
Well, then if you see, I guess my thought process is if I'm on a canoe and I'm coming down the river, he told you he lost this canoe, right? Or there's no real, I mean, it seems like it could get pretty deep at times.
So we sit here all the time, and people go right by in front of us without ever seeing us. But, and for him to paddle upriver at night and find this, that's just defies logic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but had he come down the driveway, that's another odd thing. It's like all of those houses are up there right on the road, or others are clearly visible, but he goes down the road to a house that he can't see. And that road's
and
pretty long, too.
And it's long.
And well, gated. And had he come that way, he would have seen Justin first.
If just he's there.
The
see, I kind of feel like Justin showed up after that guy did. Like, if he came through, because I don't remember Justin being there before that.
But you weren't out there.
No, I was at home, though. And usually,
well, that guy did, didn't he tell you, say something to you about the Jeep and the motorcycle?
Yeah, I think he did.
So that means he had to come past shop, because that's where all that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wouldn't have walked up the trail and stopped right there at the house.
Well, that's the problem. He knew a lot about our place. Like, he kept saying things about, you know, stuff he'd seen all over this property. And that was what was really bothering me, because every time he would tell me a story and then take a pause, I would ask him a question to try to understand something a little better, and he would kind of change his story. And it's like he couldn't give me a straight story. I'm nervous about that.
Sure.
And you think that's more because he was lying, or maybe because he was intoxicated, or?
You know,
I don't think he was in a right frame of mind.
I don't believe he was intoxicated.
And I don't necessarily mean, like, from alcohol. I mean, any
kind
of substance.
No, I think he might have been panicking, or maybe he was low on his sugar levels or whatever, or something like that. But his appearance didn't concern me. Like, he seemed like a clean-cut, normal dude about my age, maybe, you know, a little younger or whatever, but still, he seemed like he was well put together, except for that night. For some reason, that night, he was
having some kind of an episode. And he, like, I feel like he didn't want to really tell me what was really going on in his life, but he wanted to tell me a story that seemed believable so that I would be willing to help him.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know how he would come off the river, but I wonder, if you're not from here, you might not know the river's here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that kind of throws me off, is you might see it on the highway, but you're not going to know it runs here. I mean, even myself, I'm from here. I'm kind of having to visualize, you know, which way the river goes.
Right.
Yeah. And he didn't want to be seen. I mean, he did not want anything to do with law enforcement. But, I mean, maybe he got, you know, this far, which is probably about a, you know, solid, I mean, we just don't know.
Well, it's a good solid mile cross country.
Yeah, yeah.
And farther than that on the river.
I probably noticed that. I mean, even when we've gone up and down on boats and stuff, we primarily stick to one area that we know. But I don't think I'd recognize it if I came by here. I mean, you're going generally pretty quick.
Canoers and kayakers never come by and just ride on by, and they don't see it. We sit still and quiet, and they don't see us. But this is 8-9 feet deep.
Is it?
Right off the bat.
Okay.
After this encounter, Justin, or the Good Samaritan, took Jonathan back into town. Angie has spoken to Justin, and here's the story that he gave her.
Supposedly, Jonathan came up on that private property where the Good Samaritan was working on a vehicle. And they said he was acting funny. Supposedly, the Good Samaritan took my son to the Walmart and bought a bushel of bananas and gave him a gift card. And he even said he bought Jonathan a pack of cigarettes. He told us that he dropped Jonathan off in the parking lot, that he had to go back and pick his tools up, and that he was going to go back and meet up with Jonathan, that he had helped homeless people and transients, and he referred to my son as a transient. He had took him to where he lived and tried to help people out. And some of them were bad people, and they robbed him and stuff. Anyway, he said that he went back to that parking lot where Jonathan was supposed to meet him, and that Jonathan didn't show up. He told me that he drove around for a little bit and that he drove a Jeep, and that he slept in his Jeep in that parking lot waiting on Jonathan to come back.
The police did not release any interview footage of Justin to me, and Justin has told Angie that he has only spoken to the police over the phone. They did, however, give me a synopsis of the story that he told them. When he encountered Jonathan that night, he offered to give him a ride back into town. They went to where the Envoy had been parked and found that it was gone. By this point in time, Jonathan's parents must have gotten it running again. They then went over to a Walmart where he purchased a $20 Visa gift card, bananas, and a coffee for Jonathan. Jonathan allegedly asked if Justin thought the pharmacy would still be open, but it wasn't, and Jonathan stated, "I think I'll be okay." After that, Justin took him to a Taco Bell where he ordered plain chicken soft tacos. Justin reported that Jonathan began to settle down and act normal as he ate the tacos. At this time, Justin offered to drive Jonathan to Austin, but stated that he had to go back to the property that they had come from to pick up his tools. He promised to come back at 11:30 p.m. and meet up in front of a restaurant called Taco Cabana. This is the last time that anyone has reported seeing Jonathan. When Justin came back at the time that they had agreed upon, Jonathan wasn't there. He waited about 10 minutes and then drove around Bastrop looking for him, but never found him. He eventually gave up and returned to his home in Austin. There's one major discrepancy between what Justin told the police and what Jonathan's family remembers that has been driving me crazy. Justin told the police that Jonathan called his mom from his phone late that night and basically said, "So that's it. Screw me, huh?" And Angela replied, "No, it's not. What are you doing? Let us come get you." Justin told the police the exact same wording that Angela told me. The major difference is that Justin claims this call happened the evening of the 4th, and Jonathan's parents remember receiving this call the following morning on the 5th, between 9 and 11 a.m. That's a major time discrepancy. If you go by Justin's story, this would have had to have been before 11:30 p.m. on the 4th. Angela has written to her telephone company requesting these records. She sent the letter return receipt, so she knows the company received her letter, but they never sent her the records or responded in any way. Jonathan's phone was also on her account, so she'd hoped that the phone records would hold some clues as well. She requested that the Bastrop Police Department obtain these records, but in the 600-page file they sent me, I could find no record of any such request. One thing that would answer so many questions in this case would be the surveillance videos from all of the different businesses that Jonathan supposedly went to that day and evening. This is what the Bastrop Police Department has told Angie about those tapes.
They did not get any of the surveillance tapes that were available at that time because their reason is there's no evidence that anything criminal happened. But those tapes could tell the story of what happened. Because here we are over 2 years later, and there's no Jonathan. We told the police there has never been more than 2 days, ever, that Jonathan and his dad have not seen each other or talked on the phone. Never.
Here's the Bastrop police explaining the issue with surveillance tapes.
The time lapse between when he was actually reported missing and then to take into consideration that because there's no criminal foul play into it, it wasn't something that we would generally request video on. If he had come up hurt or, you know, kidnapped, criminal activity to it, generally pretty much one of the first things we do is ask for DVD surveillance. And in this case, none of that was apparent. So,
and it's too late now.
Yeah. And so what we did do is by the time everything started rolling and getting into play is we actually went back and worked with Walmart and tried to populate just based on their receipts and history. You know how many people buy bananas and $20 gift cards? I mean, for the most part, it was just at that point, it was just Walmart basically said, no, we don't have any information to help you with at this point. And Walmart has wonderful cameras and DVD surveillance, and they're very forthcoming in what they provide us. But at that time, like I said, there's just no indication that a crime occurred. And usually we only request DVD video on a crime, not so much on a missing person. So that's why we don't have it from them.
Yeah. And they don't keep their video very long. Mm-hmm. It's just their hard drives. And
actually, since that time, they've changed out their camera system, I'd say, at least twice in the past 2 years that we're aware of. So that didn't help either. But I mean, ultimately, the main thing at that point is he was an adult and he freely left on his own. Now, over time, things may have changed or, you know, straight from the get-go, it might have been different than what we perceive. But when somebody says they don't want police contact, we're looking at them and they're, you know, sound mind, it's kind of hard for us to articulate that a crime occurred and we need their DVD system. So that's generally what happened with the DVD system.
That's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
That would have just solved everything, really. Yeah. As far as we're concerned.
Right.
Sure. Oh, as far as really everybody's all concerned, it would have been, mm-hmm, it would have been great to have that, because, you know, it's just been a lot easier to articulate exactly what happened. Now, the problem with that, even if we did have that, is he was actually entered missing after that point. So that was...
Technically, he wasn't missing.
Before leaving Bastrop to head back to Houston, Jonathan's family stopped at a local McDonald's. While they were there, they encountered some officers from the Bastrop Police Department. Angela went over to introduce herself.
So we stopped at the McDonald's. There were three law enforcement officers' vehicles in the parking lot. When I walked in, there were three law enforcement officers standing at the counter. I introduced myself. I started telling them about my son and the car. The one officer said to me that we needed to go home and take care of our minor child. And he also told us that if he wasn't on duty, he would tell us a story. And to this day, I still wonder what that story was. But that wasn't bad enough, because then he followed us out the door and he wanted our driver's license numbers and my driver's license and ran a check on our car tags and gave us a business card with a case number on the back. Not at any point did anybody say, let's go see if we can find Jonathan, or let's go see if we can help you find your son. They didn't want us there.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop, with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. One thing that I've wondered from the start is why Jonathan left so abruptly that morning.
And the truth is, I don't know, but I have always wondered if Jonathan didn't get a call or a message from somebody, and that's why he took off like he did.
The other thing that I can't stop wondering about is why he ended up in Bastrop. I asked Angie if he knew anyone there or had any connection whatsoever.
The only thing that makes sense to me is no. He may have drove through there to go to Austin. We drove through there when he was a child to go see his great-grandmother. But to know somebody there or something like that, no. The only logical thing that comes to mind is the car ran out of gas, and that's why he was there.
There's a major piece of the story that law enforcement doesn't seem to want to look at. Where was Jonathan between the time that he left on the 2nd and the time that he pulled into the Best Buy parking lot on the 4th? Law enforcement has looked at it like they made contact with him on the 4th, so they're only looking forward from that time. But that was a long time to be gone, only to make it just a couple hours from where he started. What if something he did in that time frame or someone he met is holding the clue that could help solve this case? This is one of those cases that leads you to more questions than answers. It's so frustrating to realize how phone records and surveillance video footage could possibly clear up so many of these questions.
Those records would answer a lot of questions, as well as the surveillance tapes, but they are gone and they are lost forever now.
It's very easy to understand where Angie's frustrations come from. Every avenue that she's tried to go down to find answers, she's been shot down because there's no evidence that a crime has been committed. How can you prove that a crime was committed if you can't access the evidence to prove it?
And I'll tell you, and when I say this, I know it's going to sound negative. Some of this stuff that I'm asking should have been done long ago. What is the proper procedure or protocol when someone goes missing? I've been told he's an adult. He has a right to go missing. Jonathan's conditions are no fault of his own. So that makes him even more vulnerable. The fear that my son needed help. I will tell you, Jonathan mattered to us. He still matters to us. We love him. We miss him. This is not right. If law enforcement could take their shoes off, their law enforcement shoes off, for 10 minutes, and if they're a parent, put themselves in the position and think how they would feel if their child was gone, there would be more sincerity, there would be more caring, and there would be more results. Because if one of their kids goes missing, don't think that they're going to block a search from being done. They're going to leave no stone unturned.
That brings us to the end of part one of this story. In part two, we're going to explore some of these changing stories further. I'm also going to introduce you to someone who once claimed to have seen Jonathan that night that he disappeared, but has since changed his story. This man's story was so believable at first that he even accurately described the clothes that Justin had given to Jonathan that night. If you have any information about the disappearance of Jonathan Lee Hamilton, you can send tips on Facebook through Jonathan Lee Hamilton Missing, or you can contact the Bastrop Police Department at 512-332-8600 or 512-332-8603. You can even mail tips anonymously to 104 Grady Tuck Lane, Bastrop, Texas 78602. At the time of Jonathan's disappearance, he was described as being 6'2" tall and weighing about 210 pounds. Jonathan has a scar over his right eye and also on his right hip. If you'd like to contact me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a private discussion group. I'm on Twitter at The Vanish Pod and on Instagram as The Vanish Podcast. If you have a loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishpodcast.com. Join me next time for a deeper dive into the details surrounding Jonathan Hamilton's disappearance. And one more thing before I go. Sometimes I like to offer podcast recommendations, and this week I'd like to recommend Astonishing Legends. It's a podcast that I often listen to with my oldest son because he's really into historical legends. One of his favorites is their series on the Oak Island Money Pit. They recently covered the Jersey Devil, which is a story that I grew up hearing all about since it's local to me. Stay tuned to the very end. I've included a little clip about their show. Thanks for listening.
There's a great need all over our country for help to find missing people. I never knew so many people were missing until Jonathan went missing. Because you don't see it on the TV. Don't ever say it can't happen to you, because I'm living proof that it can. My son is missing. Never in a million years would I think that I'm sitting here miserable with no answers from someone I was raised up and taught to respect and to ask for help. Never. It's discouraging and it's disheartening, but I have all these people trying to tell me to hang on to hope. Hope can only get you so far.
You know, he's an adult. I mean, you know, he can go where he wants to go and he can do what he wants to do. And we just didn't really look for him all that much right at that beginning. And beyond just the basic steps.
Hi, I'm Scott Philbrook, and this is Forrest Burgess.
Scott and I host a show together called Astonishing Legends.
If you have an affinity for the mysterious, which you must, since you're listening to The Vanished, then you might enjoy our podcast. We're a bit like Unsolved Mysteries, but if it was hosted by Click and Clack from NPR's Car Talk.
You know not everyone has heard of Car Talk, right?
Yeah, I know. It's the only way I can think to describe us.
All right. Well, what Scott's trying to say is that when we came into the genre of unusual historical events ranging from the paranormal to the downright bizarre, it was a dry place that maybe took itself a little too seriously at times.
Exactly. While our show is by no means silly, we aren't afraid to have a laugh at some of the more entertaining elements of these types of stories. Like Trapper Albert Oseman's harrowing tale of being kidnapped by a Bigfoot in 1924. He was only able to make his escape when the creature ate an entire can of his snuff, sending it in a hot panic down to a river to wash its mouth out.
Well, conversely, some of our shows can get pretty intense, and we'll take you there, too. Like one of our most downloaded episodes, the one on Shadow People. Or our series on a real case known as the Sludge Entity.
That one still keeps me up at night. It's not all paranormal, though. Like Unsolved Mysteries, our topics run the gamut, and our show is considered the podcast of record on more than a few of them, including the disappearance of Amelia Earhart, the Dyatlov Pass mystery, and the Money Pit at Oak Island.
So if these sound like topics that you might be interested in, look for Astonishing Legends anywhere you get your podcasts, including the Scary Stories collection on iTunes, or find us at astonishinglegends.com for an easy jumping off point.
We'll see you down the rabbit hole.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.